Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. It's episode 505 live stream. December 13, 2023. My name is Will Koontz. Anna Hummel standing by. She had to do a number two just before we started. So she is just cleaning herself up.
It's a lie.
I don't know.
It's a lie.
Is it though? It's okay.
I would be honest about it.
Yeah.
I made a number two during the show this morning and it was horrible.
How long does it take you? Which you seem like a quick pooper, like it's like just some like gerbil turds that come out like a deer, like little tiny little pellets just drop out real quick. You don't even wipe.
Sure. Do I? I mean, sometimes I wipe. Yeah.
That's good. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes I wipe. Most times I wipe. Yes.
That's good. Yes. That's good. You know, you always want to at least give one safety wipe. Those are the best, though. Just from experiences, years and years as a pooper. Every once in a while in a blue moon, very rarely, all of a sudden you'll just get one that you go, did I even poop? What happened? And then you got just this nice, nice amount just sitting there. And then you wipe and there's just nothing there. You're like, this is unbelievable. I got to go buy a lottery ticket because this happens once a decade. But good times.
It's rare, but it does happen from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah. This is episode 505, the last live stream of 2023. And who knows?
For real.
Maybe the last episode ever. I don't think so, but we'll figure something out. But
that's crazy, dog.
Yeah. We're going to take some time off during the holidays, obviously. And I'm slammed this week. I just left a training session, my day job. So my plan is, I did get a new job. I'm going to work both jobs, which is going to be a little tricky.
Did we or can we? And I probably should have asked you about this before we actually started recording. Did we talk about your life update on the show?
Are you talking about with my evening role?
Yes.
Or lecture?
Yes.
I mean, I talked about it on I did a video about it, but yeah, I don't think I spoke about it with you. No.
How are you doing, feeling? Because it is the talk of the town. Radio is a small world, as you know.
Yeah.
So I know everybody. You know everybody. When things shift, it's people are interested. People want to know what's going on. And it seems like you're not only the topic of conversation on the show you used to work at, but seemingly on every other show on your station.
Yes,
so
that's correct.
How does Will feel? Do you feel like confident that you made the right decision for yourself more or less? Or
yeah, I mean, I think it helps being as busy as I am right now, just from this new role that'll be starting in January. It's a stupid day job that I'll have to do. And
you're aggressive vacationing.
Oh my God. This month has been insane, dude.
Like, I'm slammed. I have just so much bourbon to consume and places to go and parties to attend.
It's fun, but it's stressful. And I do want to talk a little bit about the traveling thing because I've been doing a lot of it on a lot of airplanes, more airplanes than I've probably ever been on in my entire life in the past few weeks. I want to talk with you about that. As far as the I did quit the Johnny B show. I feel okay about it. I mean, I'm bummed with the way it turned out, but, you know, I get it. And I did a video about it. If you want to watch it, it's on willsyoutube.com. So I don't really know what else to say about it. I think as of now, I'm okay. I don't really know what the future is going to bring. I don't have any updates really on that. I still work at the Bone on Saturday mornings as of right now. And who knows what will happen in the near future. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do anything anyways with this new schedule I plan on keeping to try to make some money for once in my life, try to hustle that up. And we had a huge training today, all day webinar thing where I'm just sitting at the laptop. And that was really tough for me to just sit there all day long and talk about this boring subject. And it was a disaster.
Isn't that gonna be your new job, though? Just sitting in front of your laptop all day. Yes.
I'll get used to it. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a little different because I'll actually be doing something, not like in school.
I get you.
Yeah. So I'll actually be doing stuff, but they spent all this money, $4 million, I think, on this new web-based application. And the demo today was just a complete disaster. It didn't work. It crashed. They tried to roll this out last year and it did the same thing. So it was really strange. Eventually I just got to the point where I don't know, I'm leaving. I've had enough of this. So, that happened. And, so yeah, I'm doing that. And then I'm leaving again next week. It's been crazy traveling though. You've been doing a lot of traveling lately. Sort of
more than I usually do. I know people who travel like every weekend, every other weekend. I'm not that. I don't like that. I like routine. But as far as this year goes, yes, definitely been on a plane or just traveling like road trips and stuff far more. And I think we're going to end the year. Actually, I don't know if this counts, but we're going to St. Augustine last week of December for a day or so.
Oh, that's nice. I've actually never been there. It's like the oldest town in America, right?
Yeah. I went there with a girlfriend a couple of years ago during COVID. And then I'm meeting a girl who I went to college with. I went to her wedding. I think I told you about this, how I've been cursed with the don't get a plus one deal.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, Jackie, I'm going to come to your wedding. I'm like, but could I bring my mom? And she was like, no.
Bring my mom?
Well, I thought I would get a plus one and I didn't. And then I was like, well, can I like bring my mom? Because my mom lived maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes from the wedding. Like very close to where my mom lived, and I was going out there for this wedding. So I'm like, I'm gonna see my mom. I'll bring my mom to the wedding. It'll be a thing. And she shot it down, which ended up being fine because it was during my mom had surgery COVID episode. So I didn't even see my mom that trip anyways. So it actually worked out okay. But
that's a weird request, Anna. I got to be honest, to bring your mom to a wedding. That's psychotic.
She lived 10 minutes from the wedding. And I'm going across the country. I thought I would get a plus one, but I was denied that access. Plus one access.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think your mom would have wanted to go? Would she have been excited to go?
Yeah, she would have. I can't remember if this was during this was 21. So you know what? It ended up, if minus the COVID open heart surgery thing, 100% she would have come along with me. My mom is very social. She's a social butterfly. She's much like me. But she's genuine. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if I was as friendly as I am and then like, you know, behind closed doors, I'm like this mother, you know, that's me. My mom is like, she means it. Like she really, she's more, way more genuine like me. I am the merge. I am my mom and my dad morphed into one, very cynical like my father, a moment ruiner like my dad, but also can play very social like my mom. So, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just an unusual request. I don't think I've ever heard that. Obviously, a plus one means usually a significant other or a spouse or something like that, not mommy.
Yeah. Typically. Well, mom would live 10 minutes from the wedding.
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I know. And when it was like an outdoor wedding, it wasn't a plated thing. So I just thought maybe, I don't know, she could come along. But the answer was no. And then I didn't see my mom anyway. So it worked out just fine. But we're going to see her and her husband in St. Augustine. And apparently we'll be staying at his grandmother's house.
Oh, not getting your own hotel either.
Will, have you met me? If something is free $99, I will never, ever go out. I will sleep in a bathtub before I go pay for stuff. That's just not. Yeah,
can't do it anymore. I don't want to stay with strangers. I don't want to not have my own bed anymore. I would just not go.
Girl, I mean, I'll share a bed with my boyfriend who I share a bed with every night anyways.
That's okay. Yeah. But I mean, as far as like staying in somebody's house that you don't really know.
I do it. don't care. It's an old woman. I mean, I don't.
Exactly.
It's one day. Yeah. It's one day, you know. Sorry, I just spit all over my screen. Okay, sorry.
She's just going to be sitting there standing over your bed. You're going to wake up. She's going to be eating wants and sandwiches.
Oh, I hope so. I've been doing pretty good at jujitsu, not saying, you know, so I'll just wrap that bitch in a guillotine and, you know, pop her head off. So.
Jeez Louise. Yeah. My goodness. Yeah, that's interesting. So traveling on an airplane, I'm so glad.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Well, it is two thumbs down. And I wonder if it was like this pre-COVID or this is another thing that's changed after COVID. But the quality of folks that are on an airplane now is really something special. I didn't fly Spirit and I don't think I ever would just because I heard about what the quality of folks are on Spirit because it's really cheap to fly. It's like $25 if you just don't bring it back.
Do you mean quality or do you mean like quantity?
Well, I guess both. My main thing that I noticed was the people, like when a plane lands, okay, obviously you don't clap. Nobody did that, which I liked. You're a clapper. You're a clapper?
I'm a recovering clapper. My parents, my mother would clap. And so as a child, I used to clap like not that long ago, like a couple of years ago. And then I'm like, I need to, that is done. That is old. Get that out of there. But what? I mean, the guy or gal, probably a guy because women can't drive, especially in the air. You know, it lands a plane. Yay. I'm happy. I'm very happy. That's my favorite sound is the wheels hitting the earth. That's the best.
I got to tell you, you're on strike two with me already. We just started this episode. Our friendship might be over by the end of this. Number one, trying to bring your mom to a wedding. Number two, clapping when a plane lands. That's insane. Now, this might be strike three. You land, you get to the gate. What do you do? Depending on where you're sitting. What's your first move? Like when the plane lands.
Am I on the plane?
You're on the plane.
I'm off the plane.
On the plane.
I'm on the plane.
The plane lands, approaches the gate. They say, please stay seated until the fasten your seatbelt sign goes off.
This is what I do. I wait until it's safe to stand up. And then I start screaming that I have to make my layover. Okay. They're usually in the back of the bus or the back of the plane. So, you know, you have to like wait and be nice. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I got a layover. It's a time crunch. Okay, go. I don't know. I'm back in Tampa. I just want to get off the plane, you know?
That's terrible. You should feel like a bad human being about doing that. But I also understand to a certain degree. I like these people, and by like I mean hate, that are sitting in the back that are standing in the aisle now. They just stand there and they get their stuff. And now you're blocking, you know, there was one woman who came out just behind me and then put her bag in my aisle. And it was my turn to get up. You know, it goes just you deboard by where your seat is.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Everybody knows the sequence. Yeah.
One, two, three. I mean, it's just unless somebody's like severely handicapped or something, they need a chair. Obviously, they're going to be the last to get off. But they're the first to get on, last to get off if you need a chair, which we did have the last flight I took, a severely handicapped man that was in a wheelchair that was sitting.
What kind?
I couldn't tell if it was I think it was like traumatic brain injury. Like a severe one.
An old guy is what I'm asking.
No, it was a young dude, probably in his 30s, I would say. And he had his parents with him. And I saw him.
Was he talking or not talking?
Sounds, but not talking. Lots of loud grunts.
Such as?
Just like a dinosaur. Yeah, that type of stuff. And he was hugging his dad and squeezing him really hard and grabbing him by the head and like pulling him down, getting out of the wheel. He loved his dad. You could tell. We couldn't keep his hands off of him. They were like giving him tranquilizers, I think it was, before the plane. And he was not agreeable to that. He didn't like that. Probably tasted gross. And then like we got on the plane and he was right in the aisle next to me, not in the same like chairs, but like right in the next aisle over. And he just was taking his shirt off. And they're like, keep your shirt on. I got to say the parents did like a pretty good job, but I mean, he was just like gone. I mean, this person was just severely, severely handicapped. So they were like, miss the flight. They called it like my son wants to take his shirt off. Is that OK? And I think the flight attendant was just like, just whatever. I mean, it does. So he got to take his shirt off and I'm like nudging Julia, like, I'm going to take my shirt off. I want to be comfortable. Like this guy gets to take his shirt off. What the frick? And But I mean, that's not an issue. Like, I get it. I don't know what the event that they were flying for. I'm assuming maybe there's like world-class hospitals here that maybe deal with his condition. I don't know. Like, if they're just going
really to want his family, you know, and they can't leave him at home by himself.
Yeah, that's true.
Tether him to a tree with a bowl of food and a bowl of water and just hope for the best, you know?
Yeah, true. I don't know. It just seems like a lot. Like, have the family come to you. Like, I have a severely, like, we can't let this guy.
Never going to leave. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. It's kind of your cross the bear, you know, like, it's unfortunate, but I mean, it's, I hate to say it, and I'm going to sound mean, but it's kind of scary a little bit, you know, just like if you're not used to that, it's like somebody that you can't communicate with that is just a wild card, you know, like, you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know if they're going to fly off the handle. You don't know if they're going to assault you, hit you. Like, he was kind of getting rough with his dad, and I'm like the next one. And he's like, I caught him a few times just staring at me, and I just
taking you down. Just, they can be scary. Sometimes it seems like with that one, he wasn't too mobile with his legs.
Yeah, not really. No. Sometimes, so that was the saving grace. It's a
little scary when they can walk and run. Yes. I was assaulted one time. Did I ever tell you about this in high school? I was assaulted by a person with problems at a Target. And I was shopping with my mother. I was probably 16, 17. And all I felt around me were two hands over my eyes.
Oh, no.
Just come up behind me. So I obviously thought it was like a friend that saw me at Target, someone in high school, a friend. I'm like, you know, so I think I even said, Deba, is that Deba? Is that you? Like, you found me at Target. And then I felt like a little bit of like slobber, uh-oh, like here. Uh-huh. And so I was like, yeah, I don't think it's not Deba anymore. You know, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. And I just remember like taking the hands off and like looking and then just be like, ah, it's like a, yeah. And was then,
was it like an aggressive or just a hello, that type of thing? Or was it like, I'm going to kill you?
So I've learned from the Shane Gillis stand-up comedy special on Netflix that these types of people really like women and wrestling.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so right. I think that I was just a young girl, and he was like, yeah, that.
Yeah, like that.
No, I think it wasn't like an aggressive thing. It was just like there was just a lot of admiration going on, I think, in his head.
I see. So it wasn't somebody with like a severe brain injury. This was somebody with a chromosome disease.
Like a maybe one extra.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, that triple, he was a triple threat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So, I mean, like, I guess I've got off a little bit on a tangent there. That was just kind of a side thing. And that's something that I guess you can't control. I don't know. But so this lady has her bag in front. I can't get up now. And Julia's saying, can you get my bag? And I'm like, I can't get up. And she's like, sorry. Yeah, you should be sorry because you were behind me.
Said that, or Julia said that.
The lady said that, who was blocking me, because I go, I can't get up. And I kind of gestured over to this woman. Oh, sorry. You should be sorry because you're causing a traffic jam here that's unnecessary. That is, you're 30, like, you're still just standing there. Like, you're not moving. You're just blocking the way. Yes, you're going to be ahead of me. But, I mean, you're talking seconds here of time. Yeah. So that's annoying. And then, getting through security too. I mean, I think everybody might have an extra chromosome now. The IQs of people going through these, like, I don't know if it's people just haven't traveled before, but that seems unlikely. There's
in what way are they confused? Are they stressed? Because it is even if no one is there, it is stressful. Like, it is just a stressful thing to go through airport security.
It is. And I understand that. I get stressed out too. I don't travel a lot. And they do have different protocols at different airports. Sometimes it's laptops out, shoes off. Sometimes it's laptops in. and keep your shoes on. Sometimes it's laptops out, shoes on, vice. Like there's always something new at different airports. So I kind of get that.
The line that you're in, some lines you don't have to take your shoes off and you can leave your belts on. The other ones you have to take computer out. Yeah. So there's even in the same airport, different lines are different rules. So
yeah. And
it's stressful. And then maybe you run into Cat Nemo and you're like, ugh, and then you're just like, oh God, you know,
Tampa International, I will say is a fantastic airport. It's always one of the top ranked in the country as far as, I mean, everything, I think every aspect, but the people that go through the airport, on the other hand, that's where the problem lies. There's this family, a well-dressed family, older guy, like a grandma, like a son, and the grandma is like in a wheelchair. old, and the son is like 60. Okay. And then he's got his kids and like probably even some of their kids. And it's like 12 of them, I would say, very well dressed, all in suits and like hats and stuff. It's like the 1950s. That's how people dressed in the 50s. They all have tons of stuff. Now you're only allowed, obviously you can only take a carry on and then like a little bag, like a backpack or something you can take on. They have to-go boxes of Cheesecake Factory, like tons of it.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. They're going, and I go, I know these people are going to be on our flight. It's to Washington, D.C. It's not across the country.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, to another country. Like, it's not that far. It's like an hour. Like, do you need a meal for an hour and 45 minutes in the air? I don't know. So
maybe
then
it's leftovers.
It's, or yeah, no. But you know what? Maybe, but don't take them. Don't take the leftovers. Eat them. Don't take them on an airplane.
That's on you, buddy. That's a you problem.
No, I'm pro leftover in general, but not when you're getting on an airplane. I mean, come on. There's got to be some sort of decorum here.
When you get hungry.
An hour and 45 minutes.
I get it.
No, there's no reason you need to bring food on an airplane. Like a snack, maybe like a bag. They give you a snack. They give you like a little bag of pretzels or a cookie and they give you a soda. Like you don't need to bring anything.
The days of the peanuts are over, man. And that's sad because, you know, peanuts were killing people, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't do they give you the biscotti cookie though now, which is really good.
Yeah. Sometimes you get that.
Yeah. Those are great. But so they have a bunch of stuff. The dad, the son, the like 60-year-old guy with the nice suit on and the hat, can't find his ID. He's got this giant wallet, this thick, like a George Costanza wallet. And you don't know that you have to have your ID to travel. That's literally the only thing you need. Your either passport, your ID, and your bag.
And your boarding pass, yeah.
And your boarding pass is probably on your phone, or you might have a paper boarding pass. Yeah. The other than that, so he's standing there one by one looking through his cards trying to find his ID. I'm gobsmacked. And he's holding up the line with all his Cheesecake Factory. They have to put through the damn machine to scan it to make sure there's not anything in it. So finally the TSA guy waves Julia, my girl, up and he gets like mad. He like gives her the stink eye. Like, what are you doing? You're cutting me type of thing. And she's like, well, he told me to come up. And then he found his ID and like kind of gave her a little attitude. Like it was her fault. So this, I mean, it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh, so then we get in the other line. They had to shut down the line. That the guy, the security line, because there was so much Cheesecake Factory on the belt, they were going to have to put it through one by one. They opened up a whole new line. Now I see this woman sniffing around behind me. I could see her in my peripheral back here. And she's doing this. And then I hear her go, sir, I have my gate is closing in 5 minutes. Would it be possible for me to jump ahead of you? And I look at her and she looks like she's got her stuff together. And she just has one bag. She's got her carry-on bag. And I go, you know what? Absolutely. Please go ahead. Now we're running late too. We're really pushing it as far as time goes.
Okay.
And she goes and then they go laptops out. She's digging through again. Like, you know, you're probably going to have to take her laptop is all the way at the bottom of her bag. So she's taking everything out of her bag and she's got a miraculous amount of stuff in her bag. I cannot believe that she fit this much stuff in the bag. finally she get fine. I mean, it took, I don't want to exaggerate, I'm going to say 3 minutes, which 3 minutes of like standing there is a long time.
Oh, it's an eternity. Yes.
And I'm just standing
there. It's like a microwave 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Like treadmill 3 minutes. You know what I mean?
I'm just like, this is wild. Like, again, how do you not know that you're probably going to have to take your laptop? Like I said, there's different rules at different airports. I get it. But you're probably going to need to get to your computer, your ID, your boarding pass in a jiffy. Wear shoes that you don't have to sit down and untie. You can just slip on it. Like, there's just things that you know, and it's unfortunate, but there's just things that you... So finally she puts all her stuff back in her bag. She gets through. We finally get through. Of course, Cheesecake Factory is on our plane with all their bags, and they got, I don't know, I hope they enjoyed their meal on the plane. And then the on the way home, so that's just like people traveling. I had something really scary happen in the Charlotte airport where I was I might die here today. Have you ever experienced this? Crowded airport, Charlotte airport. I don't know if you've ever been in there. It's a decent airport. It's nice, I guess. It's no TIA. We're sitting, we got there a little early, so we had some time to kill. So I go, let's go to the bar. Let's get a beer. So we sit down, we find a place, order a drink. All of a sudden, a fire alarm starts going off. And I'm going, are we in danger? Nobody moved. Nobody nobody turned their heads. Everybody just went about their lives. It didn't even spark like a reaction. One girl that was sitting next to me goes, can you turn off the fire alarm? I go, how do you know there's not a fire? And she's like, oh, well, it's just in. And I go, no, it's through the whole terminal. It's not just the little bar here that we're at. It's the whole terminal is going off.
Yeah.
And again, like, I'm feeling like I'm not really doing anything either, but at least I'm acknowledging it. Like, I'm kind of looking around, and I got to be honest with you. I'm not worried about fire. Really. I know I should be. If a fire alarm is going off, I'm worried about somebody with a gun at the airport. Is what I'm worried about.
That happens sometimes.
It does. That's a good target. That's a good target to hit.
Yeah, it sure
a
is.
Soft target if you ever want to, you know, do something. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I could hear the fire alarm blaring, and I'm trying to hear in case I hear like pop, pop or something, so I can like come up with a plan here. Mm-hmm. I was amazed that everybody just stayed put. Nobody moved. The bartenders were still just going about their day. And I go, hey, should we do something? Should we leave? Like, should we make a... No, they'll let us know in a few minutes if it's an issue.
It must happen all the time.
Okay.
For it to elicit no reaction.
But yes, but it shouldn't happen all the time. Like, it should be
maybe
something
that grilled. I don't know how they do it at the airports. I'm not there that often, but yeah, I would be freaked out too, buddy. You and I score high on neuroticism. So if an alarm is going off, I think something bad is happening.
Especially in a setting like that. Like, mm-hmm. And I was just like, I kind of get it if, and then eventually the alarm did go off and the bartender said, yeah, 9 times out of 10, it's a false alarm. So it must happen semi-frequently, but again, it shouldn't be happening, especially at an airport where people are on high alert. There's wars going on right now where people are very upset and passionate about that may want to hurt other folks over. So, I mean, it's been like that for a long time, I guess, in this country. If you're at a university, a school, or an airport, it's not the safest place to be. Or, you know, an old Asian lady's house. You might get pushed in front of a train, too.
Right.
But I don't know. It freaked me out, especially I had my girl there. I'm like, is this going to be a scenario where I'm going to have to like jump on top of her and like a turtle and then get shot in the back of the head or even worse, I freak out, panic. And what if you leave her behind? Like I just run. That's what I was thinking about more. Like, what if I panic and I'm not able to be a man and I tuck my tail and run. And let's say that, you know, everything was okay. Everybody worked out and it was fine. I don't think there's any way that she could look at me in the face ever again. Like our relationship would be over.
Yeah, I think it would be over. And rightfully so. Well, And I just, yeah, she'd probably just lose attraction because she's like, okay, well, we just did a dry run of what would happen if I was truly in danger. And he did not really make the cut.
I think there was a, wasn't there a movie? I know there was a guy that did this. I think they made a movie about it. And I think Will Ferrell was in it. And he played the father who, there was like an avalanche or something at a ski resort. And instead of going after his family, he hightailed it and, you know, skied away and they ended up surviving. I think it was a true story.
I just think of George Costanza in Seinfeld when he's trying to get out of the building in the fire alarm, just knocking over old people and kids and stuff.
I mean, that's the comical version of it, but you know, that's a terrible position to be in. You hope that, at least I hope, you know, you're a, you have a opposite genitalia. So maybe you don't feel the same way and feel a sense of duty or, you know, have to be brave in that situation. But I think
no,
for men,
I can't remember that.
Men, I think you do. There's like a sense of duty. If you're with your girl or your family or whatever, that you got to like stay
and
fight.
Strangers. You don't feel that way about like strangers, right? Like if there's a woman or a child around you that has no relation to you, you don't know them. Do you feel the need to protect them? I mean, I guess you don't really know because you've never been in that kind of situation. But do you think that you would? Like, you know, be like, oh, here's this 3-year-old. Maybe I should like help them out. Or you're just like, you know, be by. See you later. Not my problem.
That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like that I'm worried about it with somebody that I actually love. So I think that maybe if it was somebody I didn't have a direct connection with, I like to think that I would go, hey, unhand that child and run over and like beat them up. But how realistic is that? I don't know. And I don't know. I'd like to think that I would. Yes. So I'm going to say yes, but also I'm not sure if that makes any sense. Would I just get on the horn and, you know, call 911? I've done that with like people who were like in the park. I saw a guy that was clearly ODing in the park. I'm not going to do anything about it, but I did call the cops.
I saw a dead man in a bush in college.
Did you?
He was dead.
You knew he was dead for sure.
Dead. Well, I didn't know for sure, but I remember I was running along the beautiful cliffs along Santa Barbara. And there was just like these big hedges of bushes. And I remember there was just this man on the bush, just these thorny ass bushes. Just,
was it college? Was this college?
Yes, I was in college.
Was this a student at college?
No, he was an older man, maybe in his late 50s, early 60s, I would guess. A man of color. I think he was Asian, maybe. He was like Asian brown. Maybe he was Filipino or something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking the first thing I was listening to Britney Spears, just running, being all like hot and 21, you know. And then I remember seeing him and I was like, well, that's an odd place to sunbathe. Like, it is a beautiful day. And then there was a cheer camp going on. There was like a park. And I just hear these girls just screaming. So I like take my arm, like, what's going on? And they're like freaking out. They're like, I don't know, this guy fell over. Like, shut up. So they didn't know where they were. The campus is kind of confusing if you're unaware. So they hand the phone to me to try to direct the ambulance to where we are. And so I was able to be like, oh, we're at, you know, this place, this cross, whatever, because I knew the campus. And they came and they did the defibrillators. Nothing. They put him on the stretcher and put him in the ambulance and went to the hospital, I imagine. And I was just, all right, let me just put the headphones back in and finish my run. It was really bizarre. And I told my roommates about it when I got home. And I think the following Monday or something, I called the police, not like 911, but I'm like, hey, I don't know. I called somebody and I was like, hey, I saw this guy. I just want to make sure he's okay. They're like, oh, he's dead. He died.
Deceased.
Yeah. And what did they say? They said something like, now, if you like need any counseling services. No, this is what they said. I'll never forget it. I remember now. They go, don't worry. He wasn't affiliated with the university.
Good. Good.
He's still like a human being, though, that yeah, was not, dead. Like, I wasn't like, okay. Like, you know, it was a ridiculous like comment to make. They're like, if you need any services, I'm like, nah, I'm good. And then I just, you know, clicked. I was like, I was just kind of curious. But yeah, he did die. Hmm. I came up on him. Yep.
Do you know? Do you know how? Was he old?
Like I said, maybe late 50s, early 60s. Probably had a cardiac event. I think that's what they call it. Yeah. That's what I would assume, but I don't actually know.
This one is definitely not vaccine originated. No, this
was 2009.
Yeah. That's
if
good.
He was having, if he got a vaccine, it was for the swine flu. So I think he was good.
Well, that's why, you know, it's funny how they've changed too. Back in the how, I guess like they even offered you services for this man who, don't worry, he's not affiliated with the school. But if you're still traumatized, that we can get you some sort of assistance. I'll never forget the story my grandmother told me when she was she had bad luck with husbands. They both died. One she got married to when she was like 18, had a couple kids. The guy's car, this wasn't my grandfather, this was the guy before my grandfather. I guess he was changing a tire on the side of the road. This was 50s, maybe late 40s, early 50s, mid 50s. And he got hit by a drunk driver. Yeah. Crazy. And I guess the guy just kept going or whatever. He died. And my grandmother's 18 years old, 18, and has a newborn baby in her arms, and the phone rings. And she said she answered the phone, and they went, "Are you Ruth?" She said, "Yes." And she says, "Your husband, what's his name? George? No, can't remember. Is your husband this man?" "Yes." "Okay, dead on arrival." And then they just hung up the phone. And she had 18 years old. Now, I know that people were older back then. Like, they had had to become an adult much earlier.
Matured much faster.
Yeah. But can you imagine being eight? Think about what you were like when you were 18 years old. And then
I think I was playing with Barbies. Like, I was. Yeah. I hadn't even, like, held a boy's hand.
Yeah. And this lady was 18 and had a Barbie doll, but it was a human. It was a real doll that she had, that she was like taking care of.
Out of a lady hole.
Yeah. And then her main source of income, her husband, because that's when the milk and honey days were just the husband went to work and the wife would, you know, stay home, take care of the kids and the house and whatever. Her main source of income, gone now. She's just like on her own. I don't know what she did after that. I know that after World War II ended, my grandfather started sniffing around. I guess knew him from the neighborhood or something, but he was like, "Yo, what up?" And she was like, "No, not interested in that." And then he just like kept coming by.
My grandparents as well.
Yeah.
My grandfather wouldn't leave her alone. Yep.
And just wore her down and eventually married him. She had a few kids with him, and then he was an old, you know, Navy veteran sailor during World War II, and he had a stomach ache that wouldn't go away. And she said, "Why don't you go to the hospital?" And he said, "I don't need to do that." And then he collapsed and died from appendicitis and exploded, and he died. So then
that's your dad?
This is my mom's, my bubby. Yeah. So mm-hmm. after that, she, I think, just gave up on men and moved down to Florida and opened a laundromat. And then that's what she did with her life for many years after that. But that's it's just crazy how that works out, from "Can we get you services" to dead on arrival. Click. We got there pretty quick, you know, within what, 50 years.
Was he changing the tire because that was his job?
No, I think he was driving home to his house. Okay. And, you know, just, that would happen a lot, you know.
I forgot, no one had a cell phone to call.
No cell phone, you know, that was something you did. You got out of the car and changed the tire and got back in the car and went home. Like, that probably happened a lot, much more than it does now, I bet.
But if that guy didn't die, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, probably. Maybe you would in a different form. I don't know how it works. Right?
No, you wouldn't have been here.
How do you know?
because it's unlikely that she probably would have remarried.
Yeah, so. That's true. That is true. But maybe if you're just a soul, now we're getting into spiritual conversations, which I know you reject wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I like to think that I'd be around just in like better shape and more handsome.
No, you know?
Mm-mm. Just a soul would get pushed into a more handsome.
And that's not a thing.
It might be. You don't know.
They're not real.
You don't know that. You don't know that. I'm listening to this book now, Anna. It's crazy. And it's about how the, you know, who Donald Hoffman is, he's at Stanford or something, but his theory is the, it's called like PTI theory or something, where basically your senses are just a headset for, it doesn't really show what's happening in reality. You know, like the, if you're looking at something and you turn your head, is it really there anymore? That type of thing. PTI, PIT, something like that. Essentially. PTI? Say what? What'd you say?
PCI?
Postcard in on the beach? That's not it. Nope. But anyway, the theory essentially is that your senses work as like a headset, like a Meta, you know, headset that you would wear. And it kind of gets you through to fitness upgrades to make sure that you're doing things that you need to do to survive and you don't die. But you're actually not really seeing the world with how it is.
Okay.
That's it. It's kind of too high IQ for me. I'm just doing the audiobook and they're like, turn to page 24 with the corresponding PDF and we'll show you this chart. And I'm like, I don't need to look at that. I'm never going to look at that, but it's an interesting concept and an interesting theory.
I'll look into it.
Yeah, it's cool. I guess this is it, you know, as far as I know, you got to go to karate class and then this is going to be the last
life. I could go a little longer. I actually did a little karate at noon. I'm starting to do the Wednesday at noon since I'm already out in Tampa and I get out of work early on Wednesday. So I'm able to make that class. And I just got smashed by a guy who was like, I don't know, 240.
You got smashed by a guy?
Well, not sexually. Oh. I mean, he just basically like sat on me. And
that sounds sexual.
He's like, you need to like use your hips. And I'm like, you are over double my weight, bro. Like I couldn't, if I wanted to hug him, like I'd maybe get, I don't know, 2/3 way around him. He was a portly fellow. And he's a DJ in Tampa. And so I was like, oh my God, do you know my friends? And boy, did he not like my friends. He had some words about my friend.
No kidding. What did he say? This is probably too inside.
All they do is like talk smack. I was like, I'll just, whatever. I don't care. I was like, yeah, do you know DJ Don Pablo? He's like, Don Pablo, he's a little bitch. And I was like, word?
Oh.
I was like, word? He goes, yeah. He's like, that guy is just always, he's mad at me because I took all of his jobs. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, oh, do you know my boy Flacco? And he's like, Flacco's even worse. And
oh, I was
like,
my God.
What? And he was like, oh, Flacco, all he does is talk trash on Facebook and social media, won't say it to my face. And he's like, I'm from New York. If you got something to say, you say it to my face, and I'll pop you right in your face. Oh, and I was boy. Like, I think you need more meditation, bro. You sound angry.
Take it easy.
So I was going with him.
Yeah, wow. Sounds like he needs it. Let some of that anger out on you.
Joe the supermarket. It's Holyoke Joe. He's my biggest fan, and he's your fan too, Will.
Yeah, I know. Joe's a new convert. I appreciate him very much. Paul said that he's never had an issue with Spirit. I fly them to St. Croix once a year. Yeah, I heard that they got a cheap flight to St. Croix.
LaCroix.
But I've seen videos of Spirit airline flights and they seem wild. I mean, you could tell that it's a Spirit airline flight. There's just like, walls. I've been on
Spirit many times. Spirit and Frontier.
Frontier's another one.
A discount. But they always, here's the thing about those is like, they always get you on the luggage.
Right. That's what you got to wear. And I think what people do is they wear all their clothes at once. So they'll just wear like 5 shirts, you know, bring a little, you could bring a small carry on, right?
I don't know. It depends on which.
Hold your underwear in your hand.
You could bring a little sandwich bag for free.
Yeah.
And then it's like $60 each way if you want to bring a little carry on. It's ridiculous.
Oh, you're just sitting there sweating. You got 5 shirts, 5 pairs of pants, you know, but wearing a bunch of underwear.
Sitting next to a big fatty.
Yeah.
Fat slob that just has drenched. No consideration. I hate all the. I know we talked about this before and a little bit before we went live, but you know, this X seat, this extra seat that people get for free is outrageous. And it's really discrimination against standard size people.
Wait, are people getting free? Lord. People are getting free airline seats for their fat?
Southwest. I think Southwest on domestic. Well, I guess they only fly domestically. I don't know. If you want to book a flight, you basically book two. And then for the second passenger, you just put like XS, like extra seat. And then you are like either reimbursed or not charged for that seat.
That doesn't make sense. How are they going to make money? They're already claiming that they're broke.
Here's the thing, bro. Here's the thing. We were saying the same thing, but that ESG score. This is short-term losses for long-term gains.
Tax
this
incentives.
Is the Target bathing suit thing where people, this is the Bud Light thing or the attempt, you know, whatever. We might lose a few, but we'll get a higher ESG score. And then maybe all our big investors like BlackRock will continue sending us money.
Interesting. Yeah, that sounds right. I still don't understand how that's going to work long term. But yeah, I guess you're right. You just get tax incentives. Javier says, Will Koontz, ask Mo. Ask Mo what? I don't understand this one either, Javier. And I'm not singling you out because a lot of people do it. My name is right down here, down below. Everybody spells it K-U-N-T-Z. And I don't know if I'm almost starting to think that it's a slight against me. Like just, you know, spelling it just a little wrong. I know it's probably phonetically more correct that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, like it's right down there in the banner. You can see K-U-N-C-Z, cat zebra. I don't know, but everybody does. I'm not singling you out, Javier, but I also don't know. He says it again. Ask a cat named Mo. I don't know what that means.
Think Mo maybe running his mouth.
Uh-huh. Maybe.
Is that what he's saying?
I don't know.
Or maybe, ask Mo because he works at the airport.
Ask Mo what, though?
The Southwest. Why would Mo know? He just looks for drugs.
And he confiscates them, puts them in his pocket, and takes them home.
Discounts that Southwest is throwing out.
She fed country girl _92. I FedEx my clothes. That's smart, but I wonder how cost effective that is.
Country girl. This is Baba Army people right here, man. Yeah,
these are all your folks, man. They're all showing up.
What's up, country girl? She's very sexy. I think you'd like her.
Nice. I do like her already. Yeah, that's a good idea, sending your clothes, but I wonder what the economics of that is as far as it's probably just way cheaper. Just check another bag. It's not a bad idea.
Or just if it gets lost or it comes late and you got a wedding. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm convinced with the, it just popped out of my head. What was I going to say? Oh, I guess it doesn't matter. Joe says he thought it was Koontz too. Yeah, I guess maybe it just looks that way. I don't know.
Joe has got every ailment and diagnosis under the sun.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Joe, you more than anyone have an excuse when, you know, your body, eyes, butthole, anything isn't functioning normally. Don't worry about it.
Huh? He says he put the stickers all over the walls, but now there's toxic mold. So they have to. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now
he's got asbestos. It's just a thing. OK,
that's wild. $40 total for both ways. That's pretty good. Ooh. That's about a checked bag right there. Oh, checking. I was going to say, I remember checking your bag on the way home is the way I wouldn't do it to arrive, because if they lose your stuff, then you don't have anything. But if you just do it like they offered, we had to take a small plane. So they were like, we're running out of room. We'll check your bag for free. That's the way to go. You drop that sucker off. You don't have to worry about it. If they lose it, you know, obviously it's not ideal. But you don't have to worry about, you know, not having clean underwear because you're going home.
But I mean, like, I hate checking bags if I don't have to. Because then you just roll off the plane, boom, and then you're free to go. You don't have to like sit and wait at the carousel, wait.
Oh, that's another thing too. The waiting at the carousel thing, like, again, what are you doing? Crowding the entranceway, you know, where the bags come out with everybody standing like this, jammed pack, waiting for their bag to come out so you can just grab it and run. You could just wait the extra 30 seconds to have it come around and then be, you know, free. Around everybody.
I get it. I kind of like to get a little physical, a little like mosh pit.
Yeah.
A little five-finger death punch. Like, you know, yeah, I like that.
You'd like to mosh a little bit. I get it. Oh, she says, is this the last show of the year? Yes, it is. It'll be the last live stream. I might have another video of just me. Maybe Ivana wants to join, she can, but I just didn't think she would want to.
Let me know when.
Yeah. Country Girl says she just doesn't wear panties. That's a strategy. I do like this chick. You were right. And she says that my bras are so big that they take up half of my suitcase. Okay, I do like this chick. This chick rules. Yeah, yeah. Javier says, Wills, yeah. See, that's, yeah, true. Ask Mo. I still don't know what you want me to ask, Mo, Javier, but thank you. Thank you. I haven't worn underwear in 4 years. Thank you, okay. Joe. That's good to know. Good to know. And I think with that, we'll wrap it up. I learned a lot about Joe today and Country Girl and not much about Javier, but it was still fun. And
ask Mo.
I will ask Mo when I see him. I will ask him and we'll see what his answer is. I don't know what it's going to be. And I would just like to, people that are here, thank you for tuning in and joining us this year. 2024 is bound to be interesting. I think hopefully Anna and I can figure out a way to still do this once a week, at least.
I think we can, too.
All right. Terrific. Well,
what are you doing for New Year's? Are you going to be back or no?
Yeah, we'll be back. Yeah, I'm going for, I think, a week and a few days. So... yeah, I'll be back for New Year's. And I don't know. What are you doing for New Year's?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's try to get together for New Year's.
Okay. I'm down for that.
That'd be fun. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Yes. Happy Hanukkah.
Yes.
Merry Kwanzaa. Happy Ramadan. Am I forgetting anything else?
I think winter solstice is coming up.
For the pagans out there.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. And thank you. We'll see you in 2024. Goodbye, Anna.
God bless. Bye.
Again, happy holiday. Happy 2024. I hope you get to spend some time with your loved ones, your friends, your family, your pets, your kids, whatever you got. I hope you get to spend some time with them this holiday season. We'll be back in 2024. Hopefully you'll join us over at willsyoutube.com on Wednesdays for now around 4 p.m. Otherwise, we'll catch you on podcasts or here on Radio St. Pete. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Kuntz. Talk soon. Be safe. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.